Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Brad Carson is in studio producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruption.
Her daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hate, just hate, that on my return to my hometown, we're reduced to a 90-minute edition of the Gary Parish Show, but this is a special 90-minute edition of the Gary Parish Show, and that's because the Grizzlies are playing the Pistons tonight in Detroit. Tip scheduled for 6. That means the pregame show got to start at 5:30. That means I'm going to get out of here at 5:30. Bad news is we've been cut by 25%. Good news is Jacob DeGrom pitches at 6:10, so I'm happy to get home early. Don't matter to me. We're going to jump right into college basketball topics momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Keith Eastwood's my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert, nation's leading authority, Hobo's Heroes, Street Corner Clowns are going to join me in about 20 minutes. I might ask him about Sam Sausage Head. When we finish that segment, I usually do four notable stories, 4:44, but not today. Instead, I'm going to talk to CBS Sports' Brent Stover. He was at the Final Four with me. He was at Katy Perry concert with me. We're going to get to his thoughts on basketball and pop stars around 4:45. Then Jeff Cock is at 5 o'clock. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. Again, right around 5:30. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But first things first, it's nice to be back in Memphis.
It's good to have you back and see you personally in a studio in our city. Yeah,
I haven't been here much, which is pretty normal from January on every year. But this was excessive because I did more studio work than I normally do. I hosted the Jim Rome Show a couple times from New York City, which means
nice.
There was 2 weeks there where I would have normally come home and just broken up my time away. It might have only been home for 2 or 3 nights, but still would have been home for 2 or 3 nights. I missed those 2 or 3 nights. In fact, when I checked out at the airport parking today and I handed the nice lady there my ticket, she inserted it into her little machine, right?
Uh-huh.
And then it pops up.
That's what she said.
And then it pops up and she goes, "Ooh, baby, you've been gone a long time." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I have been gone a long time." And she said, "Well, welcome back." And I said, "It's nice to."
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
It's nice to be back in.
Nice.
Every day, every year after the national championship game, when I get home, I realize 2 things. One is I have no hotels booked at Marriott.com right now, and I have no flights booked at Delta.com right now. So I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, I don't think. I could change my mind and just decide I want to go do something someday. Like the Mets are spending Easter in St. Louis. I might just decide I'm going to see the Mets on Easter. Because Jacob DeGrom pitching on Easter.
Oh, that's fun.
And also symbolic and representative of so much other stuff. So I'm not telling you I'll never leave again, but I don't have any plans at this moment to leave again anytime soon. The college basketball season is over, and that's because last night was the national title game. And I got 3 things I want to touch on in this first segment before we get to Keith Eastwood. And one of them, of course, is last night's title game. The other one is UCLA earlier today making it official. They've hired Mick Cronin. The other one is what's next at Cincinnati. So we'll just take them in that order, and I'll try to pop through this as quickly as possible. The good part about being on television nonstop and not doing radio nearly as often is you learn to make your points much more quickly. And so we'll see if I can translate it to a radio now. Virginia, 85, Texas Tech, 77. That was the final score last night. A lot of people didn't think either team would even get to 60 because we were talking about 2 teams that like to play at a slow pace, 2 teams that are awesome defensively. That Texas Tech team was putting together A defensive efficiency rating that was like the best in the history of KenPom. That's a 17-year sample size. And instead, we get 85-77. And that's because both teams got going on an offensive end of the court in the second half. In the first half, it was 3-2, like 8 minutes into the game. Mm-hmm. 8 minutes into the game, Texas Tech had not made a field goal. It was 32-29 at the half. So we were on pace to hit right around the total after 20 minutes. But in the second half, Texas Tech outscored Virginia 39-36, and that's how we got to overtime. But Virginia took advantage of some big shots, some missed shots, some bad calls, and some questionable reviews to end up outscoring them 17-9 to win 85-77. Tony Bennett has his first national championship. Virginia, as a university, has its first national championship, and it really is a remarkable story. And you can look at it one of two ways, I think. Either focus on what has happened the past couple weeks or focus what has happened in the past 12 months. We'll start with the 12 months. It's the first team to ever lose as a one seed to a 16. It happened in the 2018 NCAA tournament. That makes you the answer to a trivia question forever. Who is the first number one seed to ever lose to a 16 seed in the NCAA men's basketball tournament? Bing, I'll answer that one. It's yep. Virginia. It happened in 2018. To go from that to national champions is just incredible. I'd said for a while, if you're looking for the best documentary, if you're looking for the best movie, it is Virginia winning a national championship, not just for the first time as a school or for the first time under Tony Bennett, but doing it literally the year after they became an answer to a trivia question. To go from, and I've heard some people call it a turnaround. It's not really a turnaround. They were awesome last year. They were the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament last year. They just lost a game you're never supposed to lose. And by the way, when we used to talk about could a 16 ever beat a 1, mm-hmm. it was the way you would imagine it is like, some last-second shot, some close games, somebody did something. UMBC beat them by 20. Mm-hmm. I mean, just ran them off the court. Players crying on the court. You know, we had Ty Jerome's mother and father on set with CBS Sports Network yesterday afternoon before the game, and we asked them about that night last year. And they said we were with our son, our adult son, until like 2 in the morning holding him. Because he was crying. He was embarrassed. How do we go from being the number one overall seed in a tournament to losing, getting humiliated by UMBC? And some of it is because the star of last night's game
wasn't there
for last year's game because he was hurt. That's DeAndre Hunter. But either way, you're supposed to win that game if you're the number one overall seed. They didn't. And then they come back and win the national championship this year. Tremendous for Tony. Tremendous for that school. Tremendous for Cal Guy, Ty Jerome, and everybody else who had to suffer through that humiliating loss last season. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is just these past three games that Virginia played, I don't want to say lucky, but really fortunate to be able to escape any of them. Because in their Elite Eight game and their Final Four game and their national championship game, they were behind on the scoreboard with 13 seconds to play. And in the Elite Eight and the Final Four, check this out. If you pause it when there's 0.9 seconds left in regulation, first the game against Purdue, then the game against Auburn, they're behind. This is true. It sounds wacky, but it's true. Virginia trailed in its Elite Eight game and its national semifinal game with less than a second remaining in regulation and won both games. I was sitting on set last night with Pete Gillen, the former Virginia coach, and he said he coached for 30 years, and he can't ever remember having two games no. like that back-to-back. That's and crazy. Yet we just watched, really, Virginia have three games like that back-to-back.
Yeah.
Down in the final second against Purdue, force overtime, win it. Down final second against Auburn, win it. Down final 15 seconds against Texas Tech, force overtime, win it. And the way it happened is legendary stuff. I think by now people are very aware of what happened against Purdue. With 3 seconds left on the clock, Kihei Clark has the ball on the opposite three-point line. What most players are going to do in that situation is panic. You don't think you have enough time to do what it is you can actually do. So it's dribble, dribble, heave, game's over, you lose, your season's over. Instead, he had, as a freshman, the awareness to know I can get this ball to Mamadi Diakite, and then Diakite knocked down the shot, forces overtime. Virginia controls overtime, wins that game. Then the stuff that happened Saturday night in the national semifinal is just bananas. They're down four with 10 seconds to play. Cal Guy hits a wild three from the corner, cuts it to one. J. Jared Harper makes a free throw, misses a free throw, so it's a two-point game. Ty Jerome loses his dribble. Yes, probably, definitely because he got fouled, but they didn't blow the whistle. He loses his dribble, picks it up, dribbles again. That's a double dribble, but the refs did not see it, so he continued to go. Ultimately gets fouled. They do blow the whistle. Inbound play, gets to the Cal guy. He shoots, gets fouled in the act of shooting, three free throws, steps up, knocks him down, 1, 2, 3. Virginia beats Auburn. And I know he's an 82% free throw shooter, so people say, well, of course he's going to make those. But even an 82% free throw shooter, as our friend Jason Wexler pointed out, Virginia grad, congrats to him on Twitter, even an 82% free throw shooter is only supposed to make three in a row like 55% of the time. You combine that with the game pressure, the season pressure involved, it was nothing guaranteed about Kyle Guy making those free throws, but he made the free throws. And then you fast forward to the national championship game. They're down three, 15 seconds to go. DeAndre Hunter knocks down a three-pointer to tie it. Then they get a stop to force into overtime. And then they control the overtime period, not pull away until late. The score is not a great representation of how that overtime went, but they benefited from, in that game last night, a review that some people didn't like, even though if you don't like what happened in that review, that means you don't like reviews. It doesn't mean you don't like the referees did the right thing. The ball went off of the pinky. It just did. The crazier part was when Texas Tech was whistled for a foul when Cal Guy tripped over his own teammate. That was bad. I don't know how they missed that, but they missed that. Texas Tech got a bad whistle, got some bad luck. Either way, Virginia is your national champions. And, depending on who turns pro and who doesn't, they could win another national championship next season. At the very least, they're going to be in contention for it. I've got them number two right now in the CBS Sports preseason, top 25 and one. So just, again, a national championship game that I know a lot of people weren't excited about turned into an amazing, really compelling, super fun national championship game. Virginia wins at 85-77. They'll return most of their team. Texas Tech, on the other hand, going to lose most of their team, but they'll still have Chris Beard, and that'll give them a chance to at least compete around the top 25 once again. If you're betting against that guy at this point, you're probably making stupid bets. So, last night during the game, it gets reported that Rick Barnes has turned down UCLA to remain at Tennessee. And then the question became, what's UCLA going to do next? We found out early today they circled back to Mick Cronin, and Mick Cronin is now officially UCLA's men's basketball coach. And I went on CBS Sports HQ earlier, and they said, well, how do you think Mick Cronin's going to do? I said, I think he'll do really well and then get fired, because that's what they do at UCLA. They fire coaches who do really well because nothing is ever good enough. Ben Hallen, 10 years, three Final Fours, last year at the school, wins the Pac-12, plays at a fast tempo, enrolls a top five recruiting class. They fired him. Not good enough. What? Steve Alford went to three Sweet 16s. They fired him. The guy they tried to hire yesterday hasn't had a good of a run at Tennessee as Steve Alford probably had at UCLA.
Right.
They fired Steve Alford, tried to hire that guy. And then they go hire Mick Cronin, who I think if you're trying to ding him at all, what you point to is the fact that he's had very little NCAA tournament success. Nine straight tournaments at Cincinnati, that is not to be taken for granted. That is an accomplishment. You cannot be anything but a good coach and do that at a place like Cincinnati, but only got out of the first weekend, only made the Sweet 16 just one time. That will not be good enough at UCLA. Now, the argument in favor of Mick, and I subscribe to this, is that, well, at UCLA, he'll get a better caliber player. And when you got better caliber players, you can play faster. You can try to overwhelm people from a talent perspective. You'll be better equipped to advance deep into the tournament. And I think that's true. UCLA still is, with all its flaws, still is one of the schools that particularly kids in LA, Southern California, they want to go to. Famously, Lonzo Ball didn't even take a recruiting trip anywhere. It was just like LeVar Ball said, we're from Southern California. My kid's going to play at UCLA. Oh, so you wanted to play for Steve Alford? We don't care about Steve Alford. It could be Steve Alford or Steve Fisher. It doesn't matter who. It's Steve Jobs. It doesn't matter. Lonzo's just going to play at UCLA for a year, and that's the way that's going to go down. Now, that's an extreme example, but you are going to just get players at UCLA because you're UCLA. And so I do think Mick will do well there. But will he do well enough to keep people happy? My guess would be no. Why? Because no coach since John Wooden left UCLA has made UCLA fans happy. I always remind folks, even before Steve Alford got fired, he had a bad season, but he had all the stuff that suggests a good season is on the way. He was returning some interesting pieces, about to enroll a top five recruiting class, headlined by Lonzo Ball, who was going to be the most exciting guard in the country. Like, he had a preseason top 20 team. And in the summer, before that preseason top 20 team was going to play, they were flying banners around the campus saying, "Fire Steve Offer." It'd be one thing if you had a bad season and then had nothing in the way of recruiting to suggest that a good season was on the way. That was after year one of Tubby Smith. So I could get behind Fire Tubby Smith banners because you were bad and there was no reason to think you were going to be good next year. But Steve actually had a great recruiting class on the way that included Lonzo Ball. They still wanted him fired. Without realizing, if you fire him now, you probably lose most of your recruiting class. Your team won't be as good. We don't care. Fire him. That's who they are. And I'm just going to trust that this is going to end the same way. And I bet you at some point Mick will go, "God, I could have coached at Cincinnati forever, and these maniacs are trying to fire me after 3 years at UCLA, but he got $24 million, so whatever." And the last question, and then I'll get to Keith Easterwood, is, so what do they do at Cincinnati? And I only bring this up because I don't think they're going to go out and make some incredible hire, like big-name hire. Like, John Brannan at Northern Kentucky is a perfectly reasonable candidate. Like, if they hired him, they'd probably be better off for it. But the biggest name that's been attached to it as a possibility so far is a Cincinnati legend and Grizzlies assistant, Nick Van Exel. Nick has made it clear to the people he needs to make it clear to that he would like the job. Woj tweeted earlier today that he wants the job. And so I've seen some people tweet, you know, I'd hire Nick Van Exel. And that's fine. Like, I'm not against hiring Nick Van Exel. But I don't know him well enough to know, like, if I think he would be great at that job. But, like, if you wanted to hire Nick Van Exel, it's fine with me. I just sort of roll my eyes at people who don't know Nick Van Exel talking about they would hire Nick Van Exel. Why? And I think that we've fallen into a little thing here where, because the Penny Hardaway thing is working, it's sort of like the default, hey, do you have a former player who is trying to break into coaching or is, like, on an NBA bench or, like, you know, runs – maybe then he could be Penny Hardaway. When the truth is, the Penny Hardaway thing was such a unique situation. Totally unlike the Chris Mullin thing. Totally unlike the Fred Hoiberg thing. Totally unlike the Clyde Drexler thing. Totally unlike the Jerry Stackhouse thing. When you hired Penny Hardaway, you weren't just taking a chance on an alum who had never worked on a college campus. You were taking a chance on an alum who had never worked on a college campus who was almost certainly going to bring you a top 10 recruiting class because he was connected to all of the players that he's committed since he got to the University of Memphis. You knew that's what you, if you didn't know, you had reason to believe that's what you were getting. Well, Nick Van Exel doesn't have connections to the number one player in the country or four top 150 kids or anything like that. And so I would just be careful if I were running Cincinnati. That's all. If you get to a point where you think Nick Van Exel is the best guy for the job, hire him. You know, from a storyline perspective, what would be more awesome than Penny coaching Memphis and Nick Van Exel coaching Cincinnati? Like, that's my childhood. That's amazing. But just hiring a guy who thinks he wants to be a college coach is vastly different than hiring a guy who wants to be a college coach who can also bring you James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries and Malcolm Dandridge and Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax and everybody else that Penny has got his fingers into. Like, those relationships were established before Penny even sat down with Dr. Rudd. And part of the selling point on from Penny's perspective was, I can bring you these guys. Like, if you are skeptical of me as a coach, fine. But don't be skeptical of what I can bring, because I'm telling you what I can bring. No other former NBA player who wants to coach at his alma mater has those same type of connections. And so we'll see where the Penny Hardaway era goes from here, but I always assumed the Penny Hardaway era would get here, where he was heading into a season with a stacked roster ready to go. Nobody else can guarantee to bring a stacked roster with them by year two the way Penny could basically guarantee it, and that's why this is a little bit apples and oranges, but I'd consider it if I were Cincinnati. I'd want to sit down and talk to him, at the very least, just out of respect. Out of respect. That guy, you think Van Exel wants to meet with you, you meet with him. And then you make the best decision you can make. But it's not great for the league to lose Mick Cronin. He's been one of the more consistent winners, not just in the AAC, but in college basketball in general. And so happy for Mick, good for UCLA, but it's not great for the American Athletic Conference, because you could trust that if Mick were at Cincinnati, Cincinnati was going to remain nationally relevant. Can you trust that the next guy is going to keep it there? I don't know. Not blindly. You hope so. Cincinnati's a great program, but great programs don't run themselves. Even North Carolina can get screwed up. Even Kentucky can get screwed up. And if those programs can get screwed up with bad hires, then Cincinnati certainly isn't immune to that, so they need to get this right. Keith Easterwood's up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Brent Stover works for CBS Sports. He's a studio host, play-by-play man. He was at the Final Four. We're going to talk to him in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me at 5 o'clock. Then we're out at 5:30. Grizzlies pregame. Get started then. Grizzlies Pistons tipping off in Detroit, 6 Central. You can listen right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. But right now, he is my local basketball expert, your local basketball expert. Nation's leading authority, Hobos, Heroes, Street Corner Clowns. You know Sam Sausage Head is Keith Easterwood making the big interview.
Keith Easterwood is presented by Old Dominic Distillery. It's the one and only Keith Easterwood.
He ran.
Yep.
Die, Brad, die.
Local basketball expert, talking Hobos, Heroes, and Street Corner Clowns on 92.9's Gary Parish Show.
Real quick, before we get to it, Easterwood, some breaking news from Drew Hill, commercial appeal. Antoine Jones, who just finished his first season at the University of Memphis, has entered the NCAA transfer portal and so is considering a transfer, if not already made up his mind. He is leaving the Memphis program. Easterwood, what's up?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I got no complaints. How are you?
I need UCLA to offer me a job so I can get a raise like everybody else.
Jesus, what in the world? Why they keep offering their job till today to a bunch of people who are never going to take their job?
Yeah, and I'm going to say this because, and Gary, when you get to this time of the year, you know better than I do probably, but, I mean, these guys are my friends. So Mick Cronin, the people at Cincinnati have been on him, although he's had a great run. His dad's a legend in Cincinnati, but he can go to probably UCLA and in 5 years make, what, $20 million or whatever.
Yeah, he's making $4 million a year.
Yeah, right. So I'm good with numbers. And Nick and I used to travel together way back in the day and trace players for Sonny for the ABCD. And so while I'm on that, let me say this. I taped Sonny last Tuesday for the – podcast, KeithEasterwood.com. Tony Harris is coming back on tonight, so we're going to revisit what he told about his family or a family member or whatever, however you want to say it. I didn't say it. He did it. What the repercussions have been like. So I'm going to tape him tonight at on my time. But there's a lot of players in California. Mick is such a dogmatic, intense individual. He had to take a year off because he was just so into it that I hope and pray he does well out there. But the worst case is in 5 years, what? You know, you got 20 mil and you tell everybody to go to hell and you do what you do. I mean, so, but that's my guy, man. I like him. You know, Will Wade, we talk about this all the time. And Sonny mentions on the podcast that if nobody says money exchange hand, Will Wade's my guy, so I love him to death. So I'm probably over the top about it, but, and I know you and I have texted different things, but if they can't prove money exchanged hands, LSU is probably going to fire him. He'll take a year off, and then he'll come back and get rehired. I mean, that's the way it goes. People want to hire Rick Pitino. I mean, Cal just got a $9 million a year deal till he dies. I mean, so I could tell a story right now about Smitty at Memphis that would freak people out. But, and if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But
if you've got a good freak out story, I'll listen to it, sure.
So when Cal got to Memphis, and let me say this, I like John Calipari. John Calipari, and I say this all the time, he was very kind to me. And I would go, I work nights. So I work in a manufacturing environment. I'm not a radio guy. I'm not a journalist. So don't hold me to that standard of what you do and what Jeff does and what other people do, because I'm not measured by that, because I don't give a rat's ass, okay? I just tell what I did. And so I was doing a tournament in the summer. Jim Drew was doing a tournament in MUS, charging people like $1,500 to get in. Well, that meant Northside and the Memphis cities. So I worked it out with the people at Harding and Rhodes, and I charged $250. Maybe I was stupid, and I should have made more money. And so Cal gets tired, and they were like, me and him hung out all the time. I helped him clean the fence center up and the snow cone machine. I know all about that. And he wanted some teams to come in of guys he was recruiting. So he introduced us to a guy named Smitty. And I'm like, okay. So I ain't getting no money other than the entry fees. So Smitty says, I'm going to get you $10,000, but you got to tip me back 20%, which means, so I'm not stupid. I mean, you might, my dialect and my pitch and all that, y'all might be like, oh, whatever. So I'm thinking, okay, so 10,000, 8,000, give him two. I'm like, okay. And I met a guy out on Germantown Parkway. He gave me an envelope full of money. Now you're going back a long time ago, so it's nothing that can be whatever. It's not a problem. But
so what were you supposed to then do with the money?
I was going to pay for two AAU teams or summer teams to come to Memphis, pay for their hotel rooms. Thank you very much for asking me that, because I get kind of random. Pay for their hotel rooms, put some money in the coach's pocket, one of them being Lindsey Davis. Lindsey's a friend. So we get close to the tournament. I was doing the tournament anyway. I didn't ask nobody for nothing here. You just understand that. And so Cal calls me. He's like, hey, what's the deal? I said, well, Smitty's only got me $4,000. And John says, well, if I got to give you my credit card number and we got to pay for hotel rooms, blah, 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 we'll do what we got to do. And then Smitty came through with, I don't know, Gary, maybe $6,000. It wasn't that big of a deal. And then when the tournament ended, I went to Orlando for an AAU national tournament. When we got back, Smitty's like, hey, I need my $2,000. I said, well, you only gave me six. And then the one person, I won't mention, it's a prominent person in Memphis that was going to pay some of the money. They were like, nah, we ain't paying none. We ain't been involved in this. And so we lead into the season. I'm doing the pre- and post-game show, and we're downtown at the Pinch. And Smitty drank a whole lot more than me. And so one night he tells me, he says, hey, when you go to your car, two guys are going to break your legs. And I'm like, so Cal and them always had a table at the Pinch privately. And so I went over. I said, hey, man. And I went off. I acted a donkey. I was MFing and SOBing. And, you know, of course, I went to my car. Nobody was there. Because I told Smitty, I said, you know what? I'm calling the police on you. When they get here, my uncle's going to be the captain of the police, and that's going to be your ass. But I never was able to give him any money, but it wasn't just me. And the people listening in Memphis, they know they beat a lot of people in Memphis out of money. And certainly I got $6,000 to run a tournament. I was running the tournament anyway. It's just that Smitty overreacted and wanted to make money off of me and everybody else. And then, of course, Tony Barbee goes to Auburn. Oh, look, Smitty's on the end of the bench. Smitty is not at Kentucky right now. That tells me a whole lot about them. So that was some of the stuff, the shenanigans that went on. And TJ, who's I think she served some time, whatever, Gustanova, he was at the bench more than me and you. And so those are just some of the things that I went through, I've witnessed, I experienced. I was ill-prepared to be part of, but it happened, and then the streak jumped out of me, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm about to beat your ass, okay? So stop it. And, you know, Smitty drank so much at the Pence, they finally cut him off.
Do you know where he's at today, like these days? I haven't seen him in a long time.
Last time I saw him was when Tony Barbee was at Auburn, and he sat at the end of the bench. And I don't know. And Gary, you know, and we talk a lot of basketball and a lot of good stuff. And, you know, I'm removed from some of that just because of where I am geographically. And I'm removed from some of it because I really don't care about it no more. I mean, I care. I care that Penny gets the best players. I care that Memphis is a good basketball team and Memphis can be preseason top 25 and they can make a run, you know, in the tournament. But I don't know. Smitty was a travel agent, and that's how Cal met him. And then they brokered the rights to the TV deal at UMass, the radio deal at UMass. And I'm sure they did some, you know, again, this is not for me to say anything negative about John. And I think, and you know this, you were around. He was. That's what he was. He was really was. I was. I'm not. I'm not that dude, man. So you tell me you won't give me $10,000? Well, who wouldn't take $10,000? And he don't come up with it. And I went downtown when I got back from Orlando. I could tell you the company, and you know who they are. You know who the lady is. You would know the name. And I went in and I said, hey, there's supposed to be a check for Dundada. And they were like, the guy was like, nah, we're not doing that. So I called him when I left. I said, hey, them people ain't coming through with the check. He's like, well, you owe me $2,000. I'm like, that dog ain't going to hunt. It's not going to happen. This is just part of summer basketball and doing business and being involved. And I did stuff that, you know, maybe I look back, maybe I shouldn't have. Georgia Peters said I pimped players, sold players, whatever. Yeah, I probably did. But that deal with them, with him, was like the worst thing I was ever involved with in life, I promise you, other than my divorce.
That is Keith Easterwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN. You want to shout out old Dominic real quick?
Man, let me tell you something. Alex Canale has been so good to me, and we've texted. And they're having a deal, the Soul Fest, April 26th and 27th, and they're doing a Honeybell Citrus Vodka. It's a cross between a Tangelo and grapefruit. I don't do, and Alex, thank you so much for being involved. I don't do flavored vodka. I just drink vodka. And but there's no sugar. It's a Memphis-made vodka. I know you're involved with the Old Amsterdam, and that's what I buy. I buy Old Amsterdam. I'm sure at some point Alex will get me a sample, whatever. But there's a vodka being made in Memphis right now by Dominic. Thank you, Brad. And so I would encourage you, if you can find it. And I'm trying to, you know, I text him, I talk to him. So, you know, the more we know about it, the more we can share. But there's somebody, again, you know, making vodka in Memphis vodka. And I would encourage people to support a Memphis company.
That website's olddominic.com. That's olddominic.com. Easterwood, you're the best, baby. That's a hell of a story. I hope we don't get in trouble over it.
You know what? I could tell you, man, Gene, there's a lot of stuff I could tell that I just don't tell. I don't like Smitty. I like Cal. I don't like Smitty. Smitty's, you know, and you were around, so you were there with him.
I know Smitty well. Like, the last time I remember talking to him was after they got fired at Auburn. Like, within days, they came up here just to, like, get away, and they playing golf, and I went and met Tony and Smitty for lunch, and I don't think I've talked to Smitty since then.
So what does Smitty do?
He's just that guy, you know?
Nah.
One of the things you learn in the world of college basketball is there's these guys – mm-hmm. That you don't really, you're not really sure what they do, but you know they do something. And Smitty has always fallen under that category.
Yeah. So what happened is he thought we rode the Tunica in a limo. I've never rode in a limo one time in my life. Cal and Tony and DK and Smitty, and we go down. I get in the limo. I'm like, what, the front door? And they got all this liquor and drinks, and I'm just drinking my ass off. I'm like, what? And we went and played, some kind of damn poker game. I don't even know what it was. Because a guy wants like $8,000 sitting next to me. And I'm like, how am I going to get back home? And, you know, I'm like, we get back in the limo. We go back home. I'm drinking all their liquor, and it's all good. Well, no, really. So look, you can deal with people. Like, I love you, man. I watched you grow and evolve and do what you're doing now, and I'm proud of you and proud for you and proud for your family. But that guy was not because of the way I grew up and where I grew up, I can tell I'm not a good person. He was never a righteous individual. And then when he started with me, I didn't ask him for no money. I didn't ask nobody for nothing. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to get you $10,000. But you got to give me two back, and we go through the math. He never got me to 10. He got me like 5 or 6, and I'm like, but I had to pay for, and if I told you the teams and the players, y'all would know, because a lot of guys wound up going to Memphis. It was okay, because that stuff happens, Gary. It's not that big a deal. Like the stuff going on now with this lawyer, Avenatti or whatever his name is, I found it fascinating. Me and Sonny talked about it. It was part of the game, but I didn't ask to be part of that. And so you offer me, so we can hang up now, Brad, because say, Keith, I give you $10,000 to do the show tomorrow. Well, okay. Well, then I want my $10,000. Like I told Mr. Barron, I've been doing radio long enough. I've been beat out of more money than I've made. And so that was kind of I don't know, man. It was not a good move. And then I think Cal at some point, because Smitty tried to rape so many people that Cal got rid of him. Then I'm like you. I watched one of them. I'm watching Auburn. I'm like, why is Smitty at the end of the bench? I mean, that's, you know, so I don't know if Barbie used him to raise money, whatever. Barbie got fired. So I don't know. But so I share these stories to tell you that, you know, the game of basketball, the college basketball is corrupt. It's going to be corrupt. It's not going to change. People will change with the times. People will quit answering their phones and talking to numbers that they don't know who the hell they are because of what's going on with, you know, with Will, with Sean, with Archie Miller, with other people. And it's not over. But, again, I hope that, you know, again, my friend Will Wade escapes without getting the show calls. I mean, and you got Bruce Pearl and all this stuff going on, and the Final Four, and this stuff has been going on forever. It's been going on. I mean, John Wooden had a guy to ball players. Why would Lou Alcindor go from New York to L.A.?
Yeah, it's all in a book somewhere. People can read about it if they want to. The website is KeithEasterwood.com. It's KeithEasterwood.com. You can get the Keith Easterwood Show there, or available via Apple Podcast. Thanks, brother. I'm going to talk to you next week.
I love you, brother. I'll text you.
All right. I'll be here. I love you. I'll see you. That's Keith Easterwood on 92.9 FM ESPN. Brent Stover's up next.
Frontier Western Store.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is your cost? Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of
446, Gary Parrish Show, on 92.9 FM ESPN. Antoine Jones going to transfer after one season from the University of Memphis. Drew Hill, Commercial Appeal, reported that he had entered the NCAA's transfer portal. And then Jonah Jordan came back and said Antoine Jones has confirmed to him he is not just entering the portal, he is transferring from Memphis. So that's another scholarship opening. Is a good thing or a bad thing? I'll talk to Jeff Calkins about it next. But right now, he's a studio host and play-by-play man for CBS Sports. Former Big 12 athlete. He's the front man of the Brent Stover Band, which is redefining country music in New York City. And I'm in the mix, along with Wally Zerbiak and two dudes from Kansas, to be the best man in his wedding someday. Brent Stover, he joins me now. Brent Stover, what's up?
Wow. I don't know what to say. I don't know how I'm going to compare with your guy Keith Easterwood. I mean, that was riveting stuff, I'll be honest.
He's something, isn't he?
I mean, I'm listening. Gary, you know, I brag about you all the time to my friends, and I love working with you. And I know you have the number one rated show in Memphis, but quite honestly, living in New York, I don't ever listen to your show. And so this is like the first time ever I'm listening. And imagine I finally tune it in, you know, figure out the app and all that stuff, which took like an hour, of course. And I finally tune it in, and it's in the middle of his long story where he uses the words piece of blank twice. And I don't hear your voice for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, what kind of link did Gary send me here?
Well, how about this?
Oh, my gosh.
No, can you imagine? This is where I become sympathetic with our producers, whether it's Dan Ennis or Amy or Seth or anybody, when they're in our ear saying, all right, you got to wrap it up, because it must feel to them trying to get me to wrap up what I feel like when I'm trying to get Keith Easterwood to wrap up.
It's amazing. You played the clap track two different times. I noticed that.
I couldn't get him out of here.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't get it. Yeah.
Amazing. Hey, Gary, I got a picture when I woke up today it was marked 2:36 a.m.
Yeah, we took a couple of former
NBA stars. Yeah, Brendan Haywood and Wally Zerbiak. It was from Wally's phone, and there was a little guy in the middle that kind of looks like Bruce Willis. And I wasn't sure who it was.
We took another run at it last night there. Stover, you missed out, but it ends up – so we end up – Wally is – today, by the way, in Minneapolis is Wally Zerbiak Day. They're celebrating him tonight at the Timberwolves game. So it was after midnight, Wally was like, it's Wally Zerbiak Day. Let's go out for Wally Zerbiak Day. I said, okay. So we get a big car, like a big SUV, to take us to this bar.
XL.
Yes. And then Seth Davis is in charge of getting the car back to the hotel after everything shuts down. So it's like 2:36 in the morning. And Seth's like, all right, I got our Uber. It's here. And we get there, and it's a compact car Uber X.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I said, Seth, Brendan Haywood is 7'1", and Wally's 6'8". Where are we going to put these people? And not only does he not blink, he jumps in the front seat.
Oh, no.
So it's me, Wally, and Brendan in the back of a compact car. You probably did the smart thing last night by just, get on Netflix and go to sleep at a reasonable hour. You didn't miss much.
That's exactly what I did. You know, like, I finally got to that age where I was like, yeah, like, GP. Well, a couple of things. I got to that age where I realized I just can't do it anymore. And I have no idea how you can. Like, it's literally the most amazing thing. You're like a superhero with your abilities to be able to bounce back. And then the other thing is, I honestly got back to my room. It's like, you know, I think I've had enough of Gary. Like, Gary was it was awesome to have him for this weekend and really the last 34 days where you've been in New York. I was like, I think I've pretty much, like, I've heard all of his material at least 4 to 5 times, all of his jokes at least 4 to 5 times. Like, I think I'm good. I think I'm good on GP until next basketball season.
Talking to Brent Stover here from CBS Sports, front man of the Brent Stover Band. We're going to talk basketball in just a second, but first things first, how good were those steak sliders at that Katy Perry concert?
Incredible. Best thing ever. And you got me going on that yellow sauce. You know, normally I wouldn't just go. I'm not a big fan of mustard or honey mustard or any iteration of mustard. So I'm always a little wary of yellow sauces. I was hoping it was more towards a Chick-fil-A sauce type taste over the honey mustard type taste. It was neither one. It was better. You put that on the little bun with those little steak slices, and it was amazing. It was even better than the concert, which is pretty dang good.
Yeah, we one of the benefits from working at CBS, if you happen to know important people who also work at CBS, is that you might get invited to the VIP section for, like, Katy Perry and the Chainsmokers.
Dang.
So, like, we got these amazing meals and open bar, and then there's Katy Perry sitting right down there, and we were eating these steak sliders, man. We could not – we had a good night that night, didn't we, Stove?
Well, and the biggest thing was, you know, earlier in the night, you had kind of knocked me down a little bit when you said, hey, just so you know, I would rather be Wally Szczerbiak's 28th option for tonight, because he's got so many friends, especially in Minneapolis. I'd rather be, you know, Wally Szczerbiak's 28th best friend than your best friend.
You know, so
that's how the night began. So I wasn't sure, but at the end of the day, he kind of, you know, Wally had an extra little wristband. He had Seth Davis, so they ended up in the VIP. And so I think Gary at some point realized, you know what, I'm going to hang with Stover. And he wouldn't even let me leave. Like, Adam Zucker was heading out, you know, time for bed, and I was about to walk out. And Gary, you know, literally got in my face and said, you know, you can't. He was pleading with me.
You latched
so
on
I
to
hung
you,
around.
Yeah, I didn't want to spend that night without Stove. I needed to be around. And then he tried to sneak off to his hotel, but luckily I got a 7'1" center standing with me who picked Stove up and made him sit down in the bar with us.
Yeah.
Pick me up off the ground. You cannot make it up. I mean, it all sounds a lot better than earlier. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, it was fun. But my issue with Gary is, and this has been the issue, we hung out in Memphis about 2 years ago at the Toon Roof, which is awesome. It was a country band. There's the Bride Tribe was there. I was trying to chat them up. Every guy in Memphis wants a piece of Gary. Like, he's literally the most. He's like walking down the street with Justin Bieber. He's the Bieber of Memphis.
Yes.
And you can't – every single dude in Memphis wants to take a picture with Gary, wants an autograph, all that. But there's not like one girl, not one single girl over
females.
A four-hour night.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Stove was like, can't you get one beautiful woman to come up and then maybe just hand her off to me? I was like, that's not usually the way this works.
No, and like the Bride Tribe, you know, I walked to those three, hey, I'm with my buddy Gary Parrish. And then I kind of stopped. I paused for them to be able to be like, oh, you're with Gary Parrish coming. Nothing.
No, they don't know who that is.
Bride Tribe, the Bride Tribe, they're not listening right now. I think it's safe to assume. Yeah. Talking to Brent Stover, he's on Instagram, @BrentStover _ Instagram, BrentStover _. All right, last night, Virginia wins a national championship. They go from the first one seed to lose to a 16 to that. Pretty incredible story, right?
Incredible story. I love Tony Bennett, and I got so much respect for him, and I have for a long time. But to see what the last 13 months has been like for those guys, and the thing I go back to is that he didn't take his seniors to the podium after that loss to the 16th seed last year. He took Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome because he wanted to start moving this thing forward immediately. And 13 months later, that story to me is just legendary because it actually began in that moment where they tried to turn the page on really the most devastating night of all of their lives. But obviously putting life in perspective, but it was a really difficult time. And to see them be able to do this, I mean, I got no reason to root for UVA, but dang, it's pretty cool it feels good for them today, I think.
Well, there was a part of me that wanted to see Chris Beard just pull off this incredible thing at Texas Tech that nobody had ever done before and nobody's ever honestly supposed to do. But by the time, like, we got the tip-off after you and I had sat there with Ty Jerome's parents earlier in the day on set, like, I didn't mind seeing Virginia win because Tony, say what you want to say about Virginia or its style of play, Tony Bennett is, like, genuinely a good human being. And those Virginia players seemed like good human beings. Ty Jerome's parents seemed awesome. And so for them to have that moment last night was fine with me.
Yep, easy people to root for. And I would have been happy to if Chris Beard had won. I mean, it was as much as we looked at that national title game going into it as being a little bit of a letdown because of the style of play, the storylines were awesome. And quite frankly, that game to me turned out to be really, really entertaining. After the under 16, it was 3-2 at the under 16.
Right.
And I literally pulled up my iPad and put the Yankee Astro game on. You know, it was 3-3 in the eighth. And I was like, you know what? I may as well have a second option here to watch. But after that, it became, you know, I hope, you know, I didn't look at the ratings or anything, and that's above my pay grade. But I hope people realized, at some point that they were missing a heck of a college basketball game between two excellent men coaching and between a lot of really good players and a lot of good stories. And also, how about just a lot of the kids on both of the teams turn out to be the best of what, as bad as things are with the NCAA, obviously the things going on, you talked about that in your last segment, but a lot of these foreign kids that come over and get these opportunities really take advantage of it and become a tremendous, not just athletes, but the definition of student athletes as well. And I think we had a lot of that on the floor on both sides last night.
Yeah, I agree. It was an awesome story in the game. Maybe not the most glamorous matchup we could have had, but I don't know that we could have got a better basketball game than the one we actually got last night. Wrap it up here with Brent Stover. He's on Instagram.
Brent Stover, you need a Twitter account.
He deletes it every 3 weeks. We'll get into that another time. He can't do it.
Okay, I won't ask any questions.
We'll get into that another time. He's on Instagram, though, BrentStover_. Last thing before I let you go, when are you bringing the Brent Stover band to Memphis?
Tin Roof, I want to play. Told me you could hook it up sometime this summer. I want to play, and I need your audience. We need a massive crowd. We want to pack it, so I need you and all your good friends and all your audience to come.
All right, we're going to get the Brent Stover Band down to Memphis this summer. Yeah, my boy Brad Carson here runs a country music station.
We got a country station here, so we can promote it. I mean, why not?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Can we put my song Instagirl next door?
I gotta be careful here because there's somebody else who makes that decision way above my pay grade.
Hey, but we just opened some doors right here live on the radio.
We're all about pimping the show, though. We'll get the single started.
How about that?
It's what you guys do. It's what GP. As long as I can see to ride GP's coattails.
Ask GP to make it a return.
All right, so we've just opened some doors. We're going to make this thing happen with 94.1, The Wolf. We're opening doors from the Brent Stover Band.
Look at this.
All right, hey, enjoy your drive. Are you driving right now? You got the Corvette?
Got my dad's 2013 Corvette Grand Sport driving through the beautiful state of Iowa. Just passed Jack Trice Stadium a while back. Life is good.
How about that? All right, baby. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll see you. That's Brent Stover from CBS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Sports. Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and Memphis Barbecue Company down in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookston, she's the owner. She's won eight world championships. She's the first woman to ever be inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame, and she's the reason. USA Today said a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company is, quote, worth a pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years. If you haven't been there yet, you need to check it out. And I understand some of you listening have a mental hurdle about crossing the state line. Like, I can't go all the way to Mississippi to eat barbecue. Well, yes, you can, because it's like really just right across the state line. It's the Goodman Road exit, 709 DeSoto Cove. So it's just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Not hard to get to. It won't take you long to get there. The website is memphisbbqco.com, memphisbbqco.com. The ribs are cooked multiple times a day. That way you've got that fresh from the cooker quality. And if you order a pulled pork sandwich, for instance, like the pork is hand-pulled right then and not a moment earlier. If you've been there, you know it's legit. If you haven't been there, you need to check it out. 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate. Goodman Road exit in Horn Lake. Again, on the web, memphisbbqco.com, memphisbbqco.com. Jeff Calkins is your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian host. Jeff Calkins Show. Joins me every day around this time. Here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, GP.
So Antoine Jones is transferring out of the University of Memphis men's basketball program after 1 year. He was actually, I think according to 24/7 Sports composite rankings, the highest rated freshman to enroll at Memphis in advance of last season. Now he's gone. Is this a good thing because it means you're going to get somebody better? This is just opening a scholarship. Or is it a bad thing because you're losing a player you'd rather not lose?
Oh, I think until you get those guys to commit, it's a bad thing. I mean, he's a he was arguably the most talented player on that team last year. I mean, he sees the floor. He's big. At his best, he was like really, really good. And also, he was a handful from the moment he stepped on campus. And I mean, obviously, you know, he this is sort of his history, right?
Well, I told the story before, like when he, because he sort of just committed to Memphis. It was a surprise. It wasn't like we had 2 weeks of right. Memphis is pursuing Antoine Jones. It was just like Memphis has secured a commitment from Antoine Jones. And I called what was the then Texas Tech staff. I knew most of those guys at that staff, but I called one guy in particular that I had a good relationship with who recruited Antoine. And I said, so what's the deal here? Did they take him from you? And he's like, no. We helped them get him. And I was like, okay. So he said, and this is true, they had a whole bunch of off-the-court issues at A&M, and they said, we just got to a point where we can't afford any more off-the-court issues. Obviously, they right. got fired the next year anyway, but he's like, we can't afford any more off-the-court issues. And the coach actually said, Penny, we gather, has got a little more leeway right now. And so that'll maybe be a good spot for him. And so we actually helped him. Like, we helped Penny get right. this done. But they were
so, yeah.
– what right. I was told was, he's not going to go out and rob a bank, but he might do seven different things to make you suspend him. He is a handful. And that by most accounts, he was a handful for Penny and that staff this season.
Well, even just particularly early in the year, just watching him on the court was an experience, because he would be rolling his eyes, and it was as if every emotion he had, you could see on him at all times. He didn't play for a long time. And then Penny put him in the starting lineup, as you'll recall, and then he played really well and then kind of disappeared. Then he played well at the end. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, if you ask me between Tyler, Alo, and Antoine, who's most likely to play minutes in the NBA, it's Antoine, and it's not close, right? I mean, he clearly has the highest ceiling just because of his physical tools and his ability to see the floor. Now, it is weird. It's, and I don't put much stock in the immediately after the season ends interviews that people do. Are you going to come back? Right. It was interesting though, because I did ask after the Creighton game. I went up to Antoine and I asked him, and he could. Like, there's lots of ways to answer that. Oh yeah, I'm coming back. Why wouldn't I? Or yeah, it's too early to talk about that now. Or yes, or whatever. He didn't say any of that. He went all in. He said 100%. I'm going to be back. I love the coaches. I love my teammates. I mean, he went on and on and on. He was effusive about how he was going to be back and how it's been great for him and how like he could not have been more definitive about it. So now, of course, that's in the moment. Secondly, there are people around players who help them make decisions, and those people can be both people who are worried about the playing time he'll get, who are on his sort of group, or they can be, or they can be Penny and whatever, who think they're going to get Lester Quinones and whomever else. And so, listen, I think Penny is. In some ways, his job will be easier without Antoine Jones, but it does certainly put even more pressure on what happens next, because he was a talented dude. He is a talented dude.
Talking to Jeff Carpenter on 92.9 FM ESPN. I've always, even before the season was over, I wondered if he would be back, because he's not from here, so he didn't have the natural connection to the city. He only played like 16.7 minutes per game. And the roster is about to be upgraded. If you can't get more than 16.7 with this roster, like, this is what I would say to anybody on the Memphis roster. Whatever you just got through playing is probably about to decrease. So, like, are you comfortable with that? Like, maybe you are, and if you are, that's awesome. But your role is almost certainly not going to be enhanced when this recruiting class, in whatever form it shows up. Because I don't think anybody right now thinks that they're close to done. I mean, there's some thoughts that, you know, they could add R.J. Hampton. There's thoughts that they could add Lester. There's thoughts that they could add Trendon Watford. There's a whole lot of options, all of them, at least according to recruiting rankings, better than the guys on the roster right now. And so it like, I, you know, I want what's best for Memphis. I don't make that any secret, but I certainly, if I were Antoine Jones, I would have been considering transferring 100%.
Yeah, here's the question, though. There's no, if I'm Isaiah Maurice, I'm out of here, right? I mean, there you've got, we know the bigs are on the way,
right?
We know James Wiseman's on the way. We know DJ's, we know is on the way. We, you know, so I don't know whether Malcolm Dandridge's knee is going to allow him to play right away or not, but like there, that was a, like, to me, the bigs are pretty, it's going to be tough to get on if you're Isaiah Maurice.
Right.
Right now, at least, who are the guards?
Well, you got to assume the guards are on their way.
Well, that's fine. And so if there's great confidence, maybe that's fine. Maybe this indicates that there's great confidence that the guards are on the way. Obviously, if R.J. Hampton's coming and Lester Kanonis is coming, then losing Antoine Jones is no big deal, right? But if you're left with Tyler and Alo and like what?
Yeah.
You have to assume the guards are on the way. They are not right now deep at guards and wings. I mean, Wingett can play wing, obviously, and he hasn't gone anywhere, said he's going anywhere. But right now, yes, it just means they better get these dudes. That's all, right? I mean, it just means they better get these dudes, and then it'll be fine. And maybe this is indication that they are going
to
get them.
It seems to me that, you know, at least since he's become the Memphis head coach, Penny's been so convincing that when he gets in front of people, he usually gets what he wants. You know, like, it's like DJ Jeffries isn't going to Memphis. And then he sits down with DJ Jeffries. It's like, I've always wanted to be a Tiger. Just flip, you know, it's done. If Antoine,
it's a little different. He has not gotten high profile guys from outside of the city of Memphis yet. Unless you're Antoine Jones.
Here's what I'm saying is that if the other guards weren't coming, it seems like Penny would have sat down with Antoine Jones and say, you're about to play 30 minutes a game.
I can see that. I can see it. Particularly given Antoine Jones' disposition at the end of the season,
right,
how enthusiastic he was about coming back, that if Penny knew that he wasn't going to be getting these guys, he could sit down and say, you served your apprenticeship. You're about to play 30 minutes a game. Don't go anywhere.
You're getting Jeremiah Martin's minutes. You're getting Jeremiah Martin's shots. Why would you go somewhere and sit out a year? But, and I think if you say that to Antoine Jones, it makes no sense to leave. It only makes sense to leave. And the quote he's given to Drew Hill subsequent to the original breaking news story is, I don't want to leave, but I have to do what's best for my career. To me, that suggests he knows that he ain't playing 30 minutes a game because they got something else going. If I'm a Memphis fan, I actually interpret this as the latest good sign that roster is about to be upgraded.
Right. Well, yes, I think that's absolutely – well, and that fits completely with what he said. I didn't want to leave.
Right.
Because that was – the way he was talking after the season was he absolutely did not want to leave. And so it may be that all these – what would you have him, 23rd?
Well, it's funny. Like, this stuff is already changing. One of my editors is about to – like, he's about to bang his head into a wall because I've already emailed him twice today and said, okay, we need to update because this is the
everything's going to change every
sure,
moment.
Yeah,
right?
So since I published this morning, Mick Cronin left Cincinnati. That matters. That changed the rankings.
Of course.
Iggy Brazdeikis at Michigan, who was their leading scorer, announced that not only is he in the draft, he's staying in the draft, hiring agent. That makes Michigan drop down some. And then Jared Harper announced at Auburn, he's Auburn's leading scorer or second leading scorer, I'm in the draft and I'm leaving school. Like, I'm not coming back. And that affects Auburn. So when I took into account Cincinnati losing its coach, I dropped Cincinnati completely out of the top 25 and one. I think Mick is that big of a difference maker. That roster is not a top 25 roster, but Mick had a unique ability to make it a top 25 team. But without him, I kicked him out. So that moved Memphis up one. Right now, the University of Memphis is number 20 in the CBS Sports top 25 and one.
Wow.
Well, and listen, if they do what this indicates they might do in recruiting, they could be top 16 by the time the season rolls around. I mean, don't you think that's true? Well, forget. Let's say they get R.J. Hampton. Now, where are you putting them?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I already went and because R.J. still hasn't reclassified, but everybody assumes he's going to. I went ahead and went through the 2019 top 100 kids, and I just assigned them to whatever roster the 24/7 crystal ball predictions suggest they're going, right? So, like, I got on North Carolina's ranking and roster right now. It takes into account Cole Anthony, number one point guard in America. And Memphis's roster takes into account, it has Trendon Watford on it because he is, by 24/7 Sports, projected to end up in Memphis. So right now, if you go to the crystal ball projection, which may or not be correct, they've been wrong before, but they're usually pretty good. It's got him more. It's got him going to Duke, and so like if he goes to Duke, like watch out. But keep in mind, Trey Jones just announced he's coming back to Duke. And I don't know if that's a good thing for Duke if you're pursuing R.J. Hampton to reclassify in the class of 2019. But to your point, if suddenly you're talking about R.J. Hampton, you know, playing point guard, you've got Alex and Tyler both in whatever role they're in, you've got Trendon Watford, D.J. Jeffries, I mean, whatever, just any combination of these guys, yeah, it starts to look like a top 15 team. Because one of the things I've said is, Memphis fans, be excited about this recruiting class. Because it's drastically better than what you've been getting for years now. But do not trick yourself into thinking this is a Duke recruiting class or a Kentucky recruiting class, because it's not. But if it suddenly includes James Wiseman and R.J. Hampton, I mean, now it is. Now it's like, you got two top five picks. Then you are like what Kentucky
teams. But then you are, yes, exactly right.
Yeah, then you start to look like what Kentucky normally looks like or what Duke normally looks like. The R.J. Hampton thing would be a total game changer.
Well, let's be clear. John hasn't gotten a consensus top five player since 2015.
Right.
It's really looking better than the Kentucky class these days.
Right.
It's sort of amazing. I think that's the number that I just saw. He has not gotten a consensus top five player since the class of 2015. So, yes. I mean, James Wiseman and R.J. Hampton would just be nuts, right? I mean, that would be nuts.
I mean,
1 year, but it would be not. and yeah, it would be fun.
I mean, no, I don't think that's like having Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett, but it is.
No.
It's not that far. It's right below that. And if you have them in the American Athletic Conference, where you've got two projected top five or top 10 picks in a league that doesn't really have any others, I mean, you can really start to turn this thing into something special. And so we'll see, but. You know, and I'm just connecting some dots here, but for Antoine Jones to go from the end of the season, I'm 100% coming back, and then to today saying, well, I'm not coming back, but it's not because I don't want to come back. I just got to do what's best for my career. That suggests he's operating under the impression they got dudes coming who are just going to keep him playing 16 minutes a game or less, and that ain't the best thing for his career.
Right. And that's, I hate to say it, that's a good thing for the University of Memphis. I liked him. I came to like him, you know. I did come to like that kid. I thought he was doing a good job of harnessing his demons and getting better, and I liked watching him play. I will wish him well on his next stop.
Well, Jeff Calkins, I'm sorry I couldn't be with you this morning. I was in an airplane when the Jeff Calkins show started, but I will talk to you tomorrow morning, and I'm looking forward to that.
See you, GP.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I told you earlier in the show, this is a 90-minute edition of the Gary Parrish Show, and the reason is because the Grizzlies are playing the Pistons. That game tips at 6 o'clock Central. And because we are the radio home of your Memphis Grizzlies, we are contractually obligated to have a 30-minute pregame show. So that's going to start at 5:30. Then Eric Hasseltine had the call live from Detroit, Grizzlies Pistons. So this is my way of saying, let's do dinner to go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, and let's just focus on the breaking news involving our big Division I men's college basketball program, Antoine Jones, who was a consensus top 150 player coming out of high school. A coach who had scouted him told me would be Memphis's most talented player in his freshman season at the University of Memphis. And though Jeremy Martin was unbelievable, certainly Memphis' best player, maybe from a talent perspective, you could argue Antoine Jones. Either way, he's gone now. Announced earlier today, told both the Commercial Appeal and the Daily Memphian that he is not only entering the transfer portal, but he's going to transfer from the University of Memphis. And the point I made earlier is, again, just me connecting some dots on No Sleep, by the way. But for Antoine Jones to go from saying, I'm definitely coming back at the end of the year, to now announcing today he's definitely not coming back, but not saying, you know, it's just time for me to get closer to home or, you know, I just wasn't happy at Memphis. None of that. His explanation is, I did not want to leave, but I have to do what's best for my career. Well, if they don't have other good guards on the way, then what's best for his career is just to stay here and play 25 minutes a game.
Yep.
It's not to go sit out a year to play again 2 years from now. The only way staying at the University of Memphis is not what's best for your career is if you are operating under the impression the University of Memphis is about to enroll a guard or two that are more heralded than you and going to eat up minutes that you otherwise would get. So if I were a Memphis fan, in a vacuum, I don't want to lose Antoine Jones. But if you're telling me losing Antoine Jones means that the staff at least believes it's about to get a commitment or will eventually get a commitment from a five-star guard or a top 85 guard or guys who are more heralded than Antoine Jones, then it's a net positive.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Grizzlies and Pistons, I guess. It actually is a big game
for... Blake Griffin's playing for Detroit.
It is a big game for the Pistons because they're still trying to sneak into the Eastern Conference playoffs. I think they're eighth right now. Charlotte's chasing them.
Yep.
So Charlotte had a tweet earlier today. They were like, go Grizz, go, right? And they had a little Grizzly logo on their logo. Nice. So it's a big game for the Pistons. It's a game for the Grizzlies. Little Caesars Arena, Detroit, Michigan. Pistons are like 11-point favorites, so unlikely that the Grizz escape with a victory, but we'll see. You can listen right here, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
Well, let me tell you what we got here, Cowboy Carson.
Yep.
Reconstruction, America after the Civil War. That's on WKNO tonight, two-hour special. This is season one, episode one. Part one.
Okay.
What that implies to me is this is the very beginning of the show.
Sure.
And it is, let me read here.
Historical. Sounds enlightening.
African Americans grapple. This is what tonight's episode is about.
Good.
African Americans grapple with the terms and implications of Reconstruction and their hard-won freedom. So if you want to know a little bit about the history of the United States of America, WKNO is your place tonight. Up late. Backstreet Boys are on Jimmy Kimmel, Chelsea Handler is on Jimmy Fallon, and Michelle Williams, she's going to be on Stephen Colbert.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
How about the top 25 and one?
Yeah.
It is published over at CBSSports.com right now, and I know somebody out there is going, hey, you can't possibly properly rank teams a year in advance of the next national title game when you don't even know who's going to be on this team and who's going to be on that team. And to that I would say, if you go back to the one I published on the night of the last year's national championship game, 14 of the 26 teams ended up in the Sweet 16. In other words, 14 of the 16 Sweet 16 teams were in the initial top 25 and one. So maybe you can project that far in advance. CBSSports.com is where you can find it.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be Wednesday. That means Joe Mullinex, GrizzlyBearBlues.com, going to join me in the first hour. I have Jeff Calkins in the second. Probably going to have new Arkansas coach Eric Musselman as well. So it should be fun. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. Let's be back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.